This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
So the Seichel says, despite the fact that we're talking about the world needing to evolve towards Toiv, but he asked before, how come, when he asked the Mechatchila to draw a picture of the world and its tachlis and so on, he drew Yichud and Mishpat and what's going to be Mizgala and so on. So he asked, well, why don't you draw the picture simply that everybody has a chance to do good or bad, and they get schar and they get oinish and so on and so forth. Why do you have to come onto this whole mahalach that there's a kolosik mahalach of yichud and so on? That was his question that he did in Mem Gimel. He said, why place Yiddishkeit on this axis? And so now he's going to reply to that. The
two options are what? It's a specific individual experience?
It's like if someone were to ask you in a Kiev situation, somebody asks you, well, you know, why was I created? What's my task in the world? What am I supposed to do? Well, you were given Bechira, you have a chance to have various mitzvahs, you're going to, get schar for this and that. That's a perfectly right. And the truth is, if you take open the Rambam's Ikrim, where the Rambam's Ikrim are Lechura listed in terms of what's absolutely necessary for Yiddishkeit, through Torah Mishpatim we understand, Schar Onish we understand, because that's kind of a driving force in the obligation to keep Torah Mitzvahs and so on. But what's the why Mashiach?
The bigger picture,
exactly. It's fascinating also, if you take a look at another Sefer, which is quite different than this, the Kuzari, when he speaks to Kuzari, Kuzari's description of Yiddishkeit deals with the Jewish nation rather than with each individual. It's a very national focused exposition of Yiddishkeit. In a certain sense, you can argue that maybe the only real the fullness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purpose is only when you have the nation, because since nobody ever represents the entirety of Tov, it's only realized when you have the Klais altogether. But Akapanim, he asked this question.
Doesn't the Torah itself do that? So when the Torah goes from Adam Rishon to Noah to Avraham Avinu to Klai Yisrael, isn't the Torah implicitly making the statement that that which was supposed to happen through Adam Rishon could have happened possibly through Noah, but then it was rejected and could have happened?
No, because for that you have the following explanation, that in order, because God wants the whole world to be told, in order for that to have to happen, you need a corpus, you need a nation, because that's the only thing that ever it makes an impact. But one could have argued that had there not been any chetavir, whatever it is, Adam would have been a fine person, his children, each one in his own, would be a very nice person. True that you have, it's convenient to hook up as nations, but that's already a kind of a secondary feature.
Well, it's interesting that Torah itself really doesn't focus on the national peace. Narratively it does, but legalistically it doesn't. I mean,
that's not true. Well, that's plural, but it does. It speaks about Malchus, and Mashiach is really a Melech. In other words, the whole structure of a government, of having a Melucha and a Malchus, a Sanhedrin, those are all things that deal with a tzibur only. You can only have it as a tzibur. So, so you have that in that format.
That seems almost like a concession in the Torah.
Well, that depends how you look at it. Either the ikas. I'll give you an example. You have two types of superstructures. You have a nation that people are very fanatic about. Let's say, like in America in the early days, we're going to establish the United States and it's going to be a country and so on and so forth. So it's almost as if the nation's ideal and every single person is a yachid that contributes to it. On the other hand, you have something like a homeowner Owners Association or something like that, that take care of Varabayas in Eretz Yisrael, where it's an association by lack of choice. You're stuck. You all got to, you know, act in consort. So what do? So you have an association, but you don't, you know, you didn't buy the apartment here to be part of Arabayis. So it's a very different emphasis. Yes, there are things that you don't need at Tziva, and there's a massive clean common ground and so on. That's the okay. Aval amaisim ochir shayuchrein leskalis kenach the royim aftoches anevim shevenin lomala kvar ashe maftichan shakashbroch yigas shalakol ponim. He says, first of all, let's start with the fact. I'm telling you this picture because I don't need it logically, maybe, but you see that the Torah is full of that type of Yehudim. On a personal b'chira level, there's no reason why the Kadosh Baruch Hu will blow the whistle and move everything back to factory settings. If you're telling me that the best of all worlds in itself is a world where people come into this world, have opportunities to do good or bad, and then get their just rewards, then why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't intervene? It's counterproductive. At some point, whether we did well or not, the game's up and, you know, everybody gets a prize or something. So Bal Karchach, the focus of the world is something else. It's realizing the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have a world that reflects his Metzias. The Hechatimtza to get there is by giving us Bechira and allowing us to try to reach that Shleimus in our own right.
I understand, but the game is up at some certain point.
What?
But the game is up at some point for individuals.
So because that's because
I die.
Correct. So there's a subdivision of each yachid on his own. That's part of his own realization. But the bigger picture is the bigger picture. And that's what he says. You see from the fact that the bigger picture, be'etzem, contradicts the tzura of each person maximize on bechira. Given the choice of maximizing your bechira, which means Mashiach would never come and everybody just came to realizing a tachlis olam, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose a tachlis olam. Chazal do tell us that there's going to be a stop. Now, the Ramchal adds one more point over here that really adds a tremendous level of depth to the entire point. He started out by saying, "Listen, you know, everybody comes to this world with Bechira, with Tov and Ran, and Skarin Onesh, and so on and so forth. Great." Then he launches into Yichud and so on, and he says, you see that the Tikkun Olam supersedes any individual accomplishment, realization, etc. But he said, it's not the Pshat that it overrides it. Somewhere, the Oime Kavanasa is that these two Mahalchim should merge as one. We're not going to be left in a situation where somebody didn't get enough change. Like, you know, I could have lived another few years before Mashiach came and would have done a lot more schar, or vice versa. The two mahalchim, the mahalach that focuses on our bechira is emphasizing us and not a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's Derech HaMishpat. The mahalach that's emphasizing our Kodesh Baruch Hu making the world in the image that he wants it emphasizes our Kodesh Baruch Hu to our detriment. In other words, no matter what we'll do and how we'll do, at the end of the day, he's still going to get his way. To us, the contradictory, and he says the safe pasuk is that the two will merge. They will come to an end together, not separately. The oimek atzos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that the idea and bechira will act as one. That's what he's saying over here.
Didn't it come a little lost a little bit? He's saying that you see the yichud more because in the mahalach of bechira we wouldn't be able.
He says, right, you see contradictions. First thing he asked him is, you explain to me Yiddishkeit. Why don't you just stick with bechiras, chavonesh, chetan, and mitzvah, and shalom al Yisrael? Why don't you just stick with that picture? So he said, I have many, many psukim, not like that, and so much, and in a sense, that the concept of a Mashiach and a Seif and Achris Hayom and so on contradict Bechira.
So is there more Yichud Hashem if it comes not only the Bechira?
Well, because Yichud Hashem means that a Kaddish Baruch Hu realizes his Ratzin irregardless of what we have in mind.
So that's kind of bigger Kiddush Hashem somehow than if we would have heard
it. It's not Kiddush Hashem, but
Yichud Hashem.
You know, if I ask you to help me with something, so the implication is that I'm not capable of doing it. I asked you, could you help me carry this box? So the fact that I asked you to help me carry it implies I can't do it and I need you to do it. If, let's say, you see me carrying it alone, so you realize that I did it as a chesed project to make you feel included. One is going to be says the other. Bechira and Yediyah to us, or Yichud, where he calls it, are really contradictory. And he says in the end they will come together in a way that we'll see them as one, despite the fact that it's something totally incomprehensible to us. My Rabbi Chaim Shlomitz used to say he spoke about when you look at big events like a war or things like that, you can't look at every person's personal schavonish. You have to look at it as in the cheshbon haklali. So when somebody asks how come such wonderful great tzaddikim were killed in the war, is it a simon that they weren't big tzaddikim? The answer is no. There was a war and there's Zayin Klal Yisrael, and that took a chunk out of Klal Yisrael, no matter who, no matter what. That's the right thing.
But the Kabbalah's
the Gemara. Yeah, the Gemara. Then Chaim would add, but at the end of it all, the cheshbon of the Yochid, the cheshbon of Klal, will coincide. In other words, we can't look at it. Our perspective is that, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will justify both together, and they will be, and they will, that's the way he would say it. Okay.
He's already said to us that the reason for it is here, in the first place, is always the belly fat. So,
but correct, and that's what he asked. But let's say we choose no. We mark no on all the boxes. It still will come out. You know, that's what I asked. Is it possible? Like when I asked you to help me with a box. So if I can, if at some point I just, you know, sometimes you ask a little kid to help, and at some point you thank him profusely, you pick it up, do it yourself, if feeling that probably more efficient. And you know, what will be the end of it?
Now he says, So until now, we've been talking about it in generalities. Let's speak more specifically. We've put down as an axiom that everything in the world hinges around Yichud. Yes.
Why isn't Sfarav Onesh itself Kiddush Yichudim? If the Rishonim get punished, then it's a Kiddush Yichudim. Is that not Kiddush Yichudim?
But it never comes together as one. It's like, imagine somebody writes an essay or a story or something like that, and I say, you know, he's got some great ideas, that there are paragraphs here and there that really stand out, but the book as a whole doesn't gel. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't create a lot of Yechidim. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a world. And to say that Reuven's Bechir and Shimon's Bechir and Lezer's Bechir did wonderful things, but where do I see the world as a whole doing something great?
When the Schar Ma'onesh of each individual would be a certain level of Yechidim. this Mashiach putting everything together.
Yes. Much and it's a whole, it's like a difference between a varim or a whole shlemus of a thing. So he says, V'davah zeh matzanu b'shnei zman. So we said there are two times for it. Ha'echad b'yosei nista v'asa niskalas, v'asheni achshin niskalas. U'be'elo shnei azmanim reino ha'yosei tolai by the son of Kibbul Zechara. Me'ata, b'chol echad min azmanim o'ela, yesh on ha'apkin kol pratshin ol ha'asik boi. V'hainu protei helam yichudu levad, or protei gilu levad. So we need to understand what's our place in a world that's in the phase of Hester, and what's our role in the world that's in a phase of Gilu. And how do we understand the two epochs converging? There's got to be a point of transition. What does that look like? Because Baba blows a whistle and says, okay, kids, that's over. Now it's just good, whether you like it or not. I mean, what is the Nakuda of transition? That's a very, very... that's an extraordinary point. I want to talk a little about this. It says in Sfarim that everything in the world, there are chalokim in the world. There are midpoints. There are beings, phenomena that straddle both. Let's give an example. What? The mamutza, right? So for instance, you have it, and in biology, you have it all the time, where you have in every phylum, you have certain life forms. Say, well, this is the virus is somewhere between the living and the not living.
Traditional.
Yeah, and you have certain bacteria that are somewhere between certain beings that are somewhere between bacteria and virus, and they're very unique. And there's some things that are between the bacteria and one-celled animal creatures and so on. And you have these the same way that an ape is halfway between man and animal life. You know, there are all sorts of coral is somewhere between living and inanimate. It's got certain characteristics of both. Evolutionary people look at this. Yes, these are the midpoints of transition. But we understand it very differently. In Torah, you have Lamashal, you have Megillas Esther, which, first. There's a Mandiyama that says Yeshua wrote the last 8 Sukkim in the Torah. If Torah was meant to be only Moshe Rabbeinu Sefer, why didn't it finish Vayal Moshe Lahar? And then the sequel will be Joshua, and you know, and so on. But the answer is Yeshua, Sefer Dvarim, and its Klolius is seen as being a link between the pure Moshe Rabbeinu's HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to Moshe Rabbeinu of the first 4 Sfarim, to Moshe Rabbeinu talking and HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Kaveh as Torah, which is already Nevuah-like. So Sefer Dvarim, it has different rules. Sefer Dvarim, you dash a smuchin, you don't dash a smuchin, and the other part of Torah. So you have Sefer Dvarim, which is a mamutza between Torah and Nevi'im. You have Ischariah, Malachi, Chagasar, Malachi, who were part of Hashem Knesset Gdola. They straddled Nevuah and post-Nevuah. They were of each. They have a din of Hashem, they have a din of this. You have Sefer Esther, which was up in the air whether or not you could write and canonize it and make it part of Ksuvim. You know, at first they rejected it and they took it. So Sefer Esther is between the two. you have something like Rav Tanahu Polik. Rav was an Amora, but he still has a din of a Tana, and so on. Anshek Nesagdola, the Shiori Ashakdola, Shimnat Sadik, who was the Shiori Ashakdola, was the first Tana to be mentioned in the Mishnah with a Memra. You always have a Mamutza between them. So the understanding is, if something is to be one, you must have things that when you join two things together, a nail that joins two things together means half the nail is in one part, half the nail is the other part. The glue bonds to the material A on one side and material B on the other side. When you have a ring, when you have a chain, each ring is around two rings. It's half of it is inside one ring, half is inside another ring. Any time you have things that need to come together, you have something which is ma'achid to. So the hischabrus is extremely, extremely significant piece. You sometimes have things that don't glue together. The two things you can't join them together. They don't come together. They'll always stay apart. You have food stuff like that. You have all sorts of things like that.
Some level of some are nefesh. I don't know which level it's which.
So correct. The nefesh, the nefesh itself is a memutza from a physical being to something beyond it. That's what the nefesh is.
He speaks about a much like kipper that there's got to be a cleat that sort of holds it, because that almost seems like it stands in opposition, that there needs to be.
I spoke last year, Matzah Kippur, we spoke about the bias achitzen where the Kohen Gadol said his tefillah, and that was sort of the chibur between beyond and over here. I mentioned last year there's a beautiful Sayyid Sharm, extraordinary deep Sayyid Sharm. He speaks about the tefillah Kohen Gadol. I gave it as sort of a dogma. What I felt was Matzim Kippur, that in the bias, the Kohen Gadol would be mispal in the bias achitzen. And the reason was, when you're on the outside, you're in this world, and you're not close enough to Kadosh Baruch Hu. When the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're beyond this world, and there's no more makom for tefillah. What am I asking for? In the Yom Shekuloi Shabbos of Nucha, there's nothing to ask for. In the bias, in the middle, is the appropriate place for tefillah. So that's the chibur. That's why it says that he would be mispalled after there. People would always think, well, just like you go to Chrysler mispalled, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is where you should say is tefillahs. But he didn't. It was in the transition phase, because that tefillah requires an awareness of physical needs and an awareness of a mashpia lamala that gives the physical needs.
In that sense, there is no transition point. The two just drift away from each other or fall away from each other.
Yes.
If there wasn't a Shimon HaTzadik, the next door of
would not. It would be disjunct. Yeah. Right. It's like. In music, you once pointed out that something needed a mid piece because it just wasn't, going from A to B. It needed a transitionary piece, right? I heard a horror like that somebody, and I found it to be right. I looked it up in the Mekairis, and he was right. It was a nigga that he said, there's a piece missing. I mean, as far as I was concerned, there was more than enough. But he said, no, there's no transition between A and B. Sure enough. Nasal Atika Seda, Vize Yetzirishaina, Lehovin Prate Helam Ayyichud. Let's try to understand first. He says that if we're going, let's go in order. First, let's explain the Tkufa of Yichud. Helam Ayyichud. Kuzman Arishin. Umishpete Hanagos as well as Manazet. And everything about the rules of Izan Hog. Vikan Yalon Levaya, Kolin Yon Avaychotasel, Vachanashan Asaisa. So this will require us to understand all the details of avoda, how it's avoda, and what's avoda, and so on. Omer Seichel, Hakdama Achas Dola Vikas Motzon Deidilocha Kodem Shenikhanes Lifnim Biyindrochva Esbaruch Ushpata Mashalis Kibbutz. So now he says, okay, I'm ready to explain. I need one more hakdama. It reminds me of, you know, as a young boy especially, but even now, it always, you know, the chazan gets up there for Musaf, and he starts hinting on him in mass, and for half an hour he's saying that he's not good, and he's not up to any good, and never was good, and, you know, and he, you know, and this and that. So, okay, it's hakdama before that. Fine. Then, Hayyena Fis, Amcha Yisrael, so on and so forth. Second hakdama. I really need to check because I'm about to begin the Avodah. And then, Oichilo Lekel, and so on. The position is also remarkable. It's almost at the end of the davening. I mean, there's very little left after that. There's just the Malkus and Shofros. You know, the Piyutim are all gone.
Right, although some would argue Malkus and Shofros has an important place.
Yes, but you know, but if you look at the page in the Matz, you're almost there, or the Avodah and Kippur. But the you know, so you always wonder about all the Hakdamas. He is very big into Hakdamas and Hakdamas. He said, but I want to Hakdam. I'm a Shemahi. I'm a Seicho. Hine on a roim, chukim ishpotim, ashishpotim is eigenmayim. Ein lachim is rough. Midos a drachim tzadikim. Kashe gozo emichach mosoi. Ad shebavur amidos elu yichasu lo. Torim rabim kecholdim and vima shalom. The ale of koronu rachum chan giba, the chol shai kadim a rabbi shasel. Says, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacted with us in many, many ways. And we've developed a whole vocabulary of describing it. Rachum, Chan, Recha, Payim, and so on and so forth. Omnum kantikul obm das emuna badoa sheshon lam hoze kiloyo usu kolatorim da kinuim ha'ilov yisbach lupi atzim ha'vika. None of these are descriptions of him. Vashe ein kolapulos ha'ilu pu'ulo yishayivu yisbach. Kashu ishvi tivaka. He's not acting with his own nature. Elo kulam inyanim shenirtsum ritzayne la'seisim v'ech nekram shatsa livroi yukam. He's doing it in regards to where they're holding. Muslimah Davadayma. Imagine somebody is going to a hospital to be mevakachola and misameach kids that are sick all day. So the person dressed up as a clown and he does all sorts of silly shtick with the kids. He's dancing, he's prancing, he's making faces, sticking out his tongue, and v'chola v'chola. So I'll come along and say, wow, this guy has a real clownish personality. It's a part of him I never knew. Or the guy is doing Kirov stuff. You know, and I say, wow, he's got a Kirov personality.
Personality. What? I should try the clown.
You never know.
Didn't you tell me they were wearing wigs and whatever at the
government? So is that a right statement? No. The person himself might be a very, very serious person, and it's just that he is, what you can say is, he is clowning and being misameach somebody, and that 100% right. So whenever we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's activities, we are describing something which is the projection towards us, geared to us. Another mashal, when you let's say on a computer screen, you see a button, and you know the mouse, you click and there's a thing that presses the button. Is that when you had a mechanical button? Yes, your finger was pressing a piece of metal, and the metal attached another metal, and the purpose was to press on another metal. On the screen, the click that does it, there's nothing like that happening to you. It's not as if it represents something clicking with you. It's just in your mind, this is the way it represents a message to the circuit board closed down, whatever it is. So this is explained in many places. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs nothing else to exist. But anything beyond that, so who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We don't have any part of our brain that has any chance of understanding it. We're We're not allowed to even think about it. Anything we could picture, describe in words or paint it, that's certainly not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's above any tfisa with the seichel. He has nothing is in self that in any way is similar to anything that is in a nifra. The thing that's the most shleimus by us, chisern legabe yisbar. Tzalkas pasuk is chisern v'lo namei b'chukor kal v'ika. Ki kol mashinzim nivraim atoyva chisern shleimus hakol chadishu. Every single phenomenon we have this world, any way possible, was mischadish Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Shem tzius baruch shem b'tzayne v'im dvarim rak v'akeinu v'yaneinu lefek v'in yisbarah. V'azeh mikra molei tzivah v'ayme v'lmitid amyuni v'ashave yim HaKadosh. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu says there's nobody that you could possibly compare me to. I'm above it all, I'm beyond it. So obviously he's saying this as a Kedama here, because he will start discussing about HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacting with us, and therefore what we add by giving mitzvahs, how happy he is with our mitzvahs, what we do bad when we do averus, how sad he is, and he needs this Hakadama to tell you that has nothing to do with him. That's all in the vocabulary of the interaction.
Okay. It seems almost like a safe harbor kind of message. You know, like when companies speak to investors, they have to issue a safe harbor message. It essentially means anything we talk to you about now is within the realm of possibility, but we're not committing to it, so you can't sue us. So it almost seems like this sort of the safe harbor. Like
almost every safer that deals with this inyanim, the Zohar Kaddish, Reb Shimon Chai, when he started speaking
to us.
What? Yeah, Luis Gopuna, so on. He starts off by saying, and so on. It's a problem because you can't talk intelligently about something. You know, when somebody tells you, it was such an experience, it's like indescribable. It's something that I couldn't possibly describe. That's not highly informative. It doesn't help you when if somebody's for 10 minutes telling you that he can't tell you anything about it. So basically, shut up. You know, like what's. So I have to talk in words and terms and ideas, and yet, I'm automatically introducing a sort of physical aspect, which I can't. So there's a balance.
He said kinuim, it's a rachum. What about emes, kadosh? Are they also kinuim, or they're on a different level?
Well, kadosh is described. Kadosh and emes can be described in terms of what it's not. Emes means it is something that's true to the core.
But would that be on like a higher darga than these kinuim?
It's a high target. It just doesn't lend itself.
Okay.
The emes is more a description that what you said hit the point exactly. It's not a description of a personality or characteristic.
We say Hashem Elokim emes.
So we have to say the word emes there means more that he's not. We are appearance. We exist, but in a limited way. Akash Baruch is unlimited. So it's much less. It's much less problematic. Okay. Yeah.
Let's go back. So this is not, to me, it seems, again, it seems like in that investor presentation, it's like the safe harbor, the safe harbor. It almost seems as if this is not part of the narrative itself, but if this is like his safe harbor statement.
Disclaimer.
Yeah.
Well, it will also help you put everything he says into a proper place.
Okay, so we're about to dive in, but you need to know that. Like,
there are Chassidim, the Ashlag Chassidim, who are usually with me, your father.
Oh, okay. Making his rounds.
That's very much.
See, he thinks he's a banker. His description, his core description of a father.
Is I don't even give him that persona.
The Ashlag Chassidim were very big. Everybody should learn Zohar. So there's a story that somebody, and I don't know, they always picked Tveria because Tveria is kind of a very earthy course type of clientele. So they went around to a shul and they convinced somebody to learn Zohar, and the guy got into it. A few months later, he sort of starts becoming like a Kubel slash tzaddik,
he turns to the guy next to him, Dominic, and says, you know, you're just uttering words. You don't even know what it means. What's the Hashem? Akdulov, Akvur, Atifres, Anitzach. You say words. You don't know what it means. So I turned and said, you're right. He says, explain to him. What does it mean? He says, let me explain to you. He says, Gedula is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right hand. Gvur is his left hand, and Tiferes is his belly button. You know, he was coarse and everything just, you know, someone told somebody in Shiva, ate by somebody, very, very fine, a nice person who became from, never went to Shiva, but very, very, very intensely devout and constantly reading all sorts of Chassidus books, stuff like that. And this person told this Bacha that he read that the reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world was because he was very lonely. This person, this boy, was like a ghost, and he tried to explain that that's kfira. And this guy said, no, you read it in his holy sefer, whatever it is. So the boy had enough presence of mind, like to show him in the book that the book means differently. That as long as he could explain it. But that's, if you don't have, that's the real reason why they discouraged Kabbalah from anybody who didn't have a more refined mind, because you think in simple terms, in earthly terms, in coarse terms, and since you have to talk about Kadosh Baruch Hu in terminology like that, it's a very hard time abstracting it, and you basically feed people hakshama, you feed people things that are wrong, treif.
On one hand, Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to relate to us as we are. It's like the starting point is what's you. On the other hand, there's a concept that Kadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Tzelem Elohim, meaning as though before, even let's say Elohim is not him, but some sort of thing that he created, way of relating to us. It's like, whoa.
So let's go back to the computer muscle again. You have the computer box itself, which works in a way that has no shaykhus to anything really that is physical part of our world. Bits on and off is meaningless entity. When the monitor and the language used to display is geared for us. But if we would not be shaykh to some of the things that the computer is processing, we couldn't even display it on the monitor. The fact that the monitor can serve as a display for it, and it's meaningful in our language, as it is in the computer's language, shows that there's some sort of, there's a chibur. My chibur to Kadosh Baruch Hu is, myself is capable of resonating to Tov. The fact that Kedusha and Emes and Tahara and Chesed resonate in us means that Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they resonate that Kadosh Baruch Hu Ratzon is Tov and Emes and etc. etc. Kadosh Baruch Hu left in somewhere within our guf, there's something that resonates to them, and that's the Tzelem Elohim. Okay.
I wonder what the use of the Shalom for this.